The button has been pressed.
Oh no!
And it's daytime, although you can't tell.
Yeah, well, you can in your place.
In my place, yes, but not for you. So I will be dramatically backlit today. Yeah.
In my illustrious cave, I've got one window way up in the ceiling. So, yeah.
In our cave, the basement, we have boxes and boxes of other people's stuff.
Ah, yeah. I don't know the square footage for that, so... It's one of the plus sides of not having children. Is I was like, oh, I'm sorry, a basement? You mean my new office? Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
Yeah, we should have built out some of that into like a basement or a study or something before we said, yeah, we'll store your shit.
Jamie, the answer is always buy a self-storage unit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Has it been 2 weeks? Yeah, because we missed last week because you were feeling like shit.
Yeah.
Which is never a good time to record.
No. I was on a combination of hot toddies and NyQuil, which if you ever think, boy, we shouldn't be recording Brandon, it's full of bourbon and medication. That's hell, just admitting I was full of bourbon and medication is questionable content.
Hot toddies.
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 Hottest tatties. Oh, yes.
All right, so what have you been geeking on, Brandon Chalmers?
Vacation is what I've been geeking on. I am off work right now, and Jamie Noguchi, believe it or not, I spent yesterday doing a whole lot of nothing, which is super weird for me. Like, to give you an idea, the comparison of the 2 days... Yesterday, I sat around. I decided to add HBO to my Hulu plan for a week or two so that I can catch up on Game of Thrones and a few other things. So I watched an entire season of Game of Thrones. I played Super Smash Brothers. I made buffalo chicken in a crock pot, so it required zero effort. And then I went to bed. That's the sum total of my day. This morning... I was up at 5:30. I've already gotten a workout in. I've hung some blinds, made a Home Depot run. I dug a trench in my yard to try and get some drainage going. I've already done some laundry, restrung a guitar, and had lunch. So it's 2:00 right now, Eastern Standard Time. I've got a laundry list of things to do before the wife gets home, but so that's super duper fun.
So what you're saying is there's still time for you to drive down here so we can make a run to Ironhay.
Sir, we have to, like, we need to either pick one of us up and move one of us closer. your vicinity to the nation's capital means that there's a butter window of traffic, which is about, I don't know, 11:15 to 11:45 when I won't hit bumper-to-bumper traffic going either direction.
I mean, now's pretty good. You can make it down here and we can eat all the meat.
Yeah, and then I've got no other plans except to sit around till about 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is,
well, that's
this
when is the go, one down. That's when we go for round two.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, no, unfortunately, that's not on the menu. We'll see what Thursday brings. Tomorrow I found out that I get to go into work on a vacation day and have meetings.
Oh boy, that sounds, yep. That sounds very positive.
Yeah, super excited, and then was told that, oh yeah, by the way, there's a mandatory Christmas party right after your meeting.
That doesn't sound much like a party.
Right, literally, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, one of the perks that I have at my job, and I'm not going to say the name of my company or anything else like that, but one of the perks that I have at my job is we have an on-site gym. Which is pretty rad, if I'm honest. But my original plan was like, I'll go in a little early before the meeting, button up anything that may be hanging out there, go to my meeting, sit in my meeting for like an hour, deal with whatever that is, and then go to the gym. And I was like, this will be perfect. I'll get all this stuff done, and then I'll start feeling good about myself because I've been doing two-a-days. Like, I got another that's not true. Yesterday I did hit the gym twice.
Wow.
Yeah. Having a bike and some free weights in my office means that I can basically get on when I'm sitting there watching Game of Thrones. It was literally like middle afternoon. I was like, you're being a complete lard ass. You should at least be like, if you're going to tear through this season, at least don't be so fat. Like, I'm really proud of myself because I was like, well, you didn't order a pizza or are eating nachos or any sort of other thing. And it's like, you can still be on the bike if you want to.
Oh,
like,
man, I wish everyone was still playing Destiny, because you could be riding the bike while grinding like Meat Shield or something.
Done?
Like that.
Yeah, yeah. I wish everyone else was playing Destiny too. But all of you abandoned me, so I stopped playing. So then I went and bought Smash Brothers, yeah. And now I'm debating whether or not I want to give up my friend code because I don't know if I actually want to play with anybody.
Shit.
Turn me into a goddamn hermit.
See, I don't know. I'm very sad that the clan just disappeared.
It's because Destiny 2 doesn't have the drawing power that Destiny had. And yeah. Even with the revamp or whatever it is, or the expansion, which is real good, honestly,
yeah,
just didn't have enough to bring people back. Like, you burned the gamers, they moved on.
Yeah.
Like, there's no turning back for gamers.
And I miss that, because, like, I miss struggling through a raid. It's like getting a D&D group together, you know. Are you available this hour? No. Are you available this hour? No. Are you available this hour? Yes. All right. We're playing the raid. I don't care if we get through it. We're just going to play it.
Yeah, but it's not that way anymore. And yeah. Now the only people who are left are kind of the super hardcores. And to my understanding, they all moved to PC. And frankly, like, the game's expensive enough. I don't have the money to just throw down on all of that hardware needed to really have a competitive rig.
Yeah.
Like, because you're talking, what, three times the cost of a console?
I think so. Like, I never spec'd it out, because I don't... I play on PC, but I have, like, a... There's an emulator for the Mac where NVIDIA... I think you log in through their system, and NVIDIA takes care of all the graphics processing and all that kind of stuff. So you could play PC on your Mac, I guess. But yeah, Okay. Specing out a new machine is not cheap.
No, and that's the thing, is like, I can pick up a, you know, I could have Black Friday picked up a PS4 for $200 and picked up the game and the content and still be in for under $350 with tax. Like,
yeah.
there's that's super doable, but that's not the case with the PC. Like, I don't have a grand to play on video games. I don't.
Yeah.
And more importantly, I don't think I would, even if I did.
Yeah.
I think I don't know if I'm officially at that age or at that interest level, or the microtransaction thing has completely turned me off of video games. Like, yeah. Well, I just bought a thing and it was a thing.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to buy DLC of like an expansion, fine. That was a lump sum and then you were good.
Well, yeah. And the only other reason to build a PC is if you're using it for work and you don't work on your computer. Like, would require high-end graphics processing.
Right, yeah. I don't have that need.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
You know, so, in turn, yeah, I do miss playing with other people. It was why it was kind of nice when Overwatch was hot for a bit. And it was like, oh, yeah, we can all drop in. Everyone's of kind of equal capability, at least as far as like character.
Yeah.
And it was like the only thing that was exclusive was like the skins. So it was just about how good were you.
Yeah.
And there was a catch-22 of like, yeah, I kind of burned myself out a little bit on it, but it was really nice to just be able to like on a Thursday, you know, group message like six people and be like, hey, are we playing? And just, you know, five of them show up and then we just tear in. And then when one of us wants to drop out, cool. But like, I did really enjoy that, but I don't know. Like,
I don't know if there are any other games like that.
I'll pick back up into video games when a new Borderlands comes out. I assume there's another one coming out. There always seems to be talk about another one coming out. It's the only franchise that like has not burned me to the point where I'm like, yeah, no, I'll keep coming back. Like, I picked up the new Smash Brothers, and I'm not in love with the controls, and I can't figure out if it's just my inexperience or whatever it is, but like something doesn't quite translate. And I don't know if it's just that the controls are so goddamn far apart.
Yeah.
And I need to like put it on my TV, But video games have become such a like passive thing for me now. It's like, yeah, I play them while something else is on TV or something.
I think Anthem is the BioWare version of Destiny. I think that's coming out. It looks cool. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think I've all but gotten burned. Like, I think the only way that I would end up really diving hardcore back into video games is again is if I decided to buy myself like a simulator racing rig or something like that.
Yeah.
Where like I got multiple monitors on my desk and the wheel and the chair and the whole nine, and like decided this was how I was going to enjoy having fun things rather than like buying a project car or something like that. I would buy a project like racing sim rig for my computer or for my PS3 or what, like, I, you know, whatever that thing would be, and then go and do it that way. I could see me very much doing that. I still don't know if that's going to be a smart move for me, because I understand that like that I can burn myself out on that. And more importantly, like, I'm still stuck in my basement at that point. If I actually buy a project car, I'll go to things.
Yes, but with Forza, you can customize your car and you can put weird decals on the side.
Well, I know. I've got Forza already. That's not the problem here. The problem is I've got Forza already and I don't play it. I know if I had a VW Beach Buggy in the back, I'd be out there freezing my tits off right now, changing shit in it, and the thing would be air-cooled, so there'd be like two fluids to go in the thing, and it'd be dumber than hell, and I'd be having fucking goggles and the ear flaps and the whole nine.
I wonder if Bungie, so my brother works at Bungie, yeah, and in their office building they had a little arcade set up with like fighting games and all this kind of stuff, but they had like a fully kitted out car rig with like 15 fuck monitors. Like it was like the three monitors for the main screen, so you get that little parallax. Then two little dude monitors for the side view mirrors,
right?
And then another mini monitor for the rear view. And I was like, Brandon needs to come out, and we need to just do that. What do you? We should. My brother is turning 40 in March.
Okay.
I don't know if he's made any plans.
Okay, cool. I'm turning 35 in March, so I officially won't matter to the demographics.
But we should go visit him and force him to do fun things for his 40th.
That sounds like a good plan. I have a history of forcing other people to do childish things for my birthday. So it'll be interesting to force other people to do childish things for their birthday.
Yeah.
I'll have a whole new city to play around with, though.
Yeah. Well, I should
have to get a little budget together.
Yeah, I should talk to him. We should plan this.
Yeah. That reminds me, I really need to drag all of you assholes to go like proper go-kart racing or something like that.
Yeah.
We need to do something dangerous.
Yeah. I think they have go-karts out in Seattle. We actually did do go-karts in Seattle.
I bet that would be cool. Yeah. Because I was thinking like something weird or different this year. Like, I know there's a defensive driver course where you go out with like a state trooper. Yeah. And they like have like a skid pad in the whole nine. And we get like a bunch of us to go out and just get sideways in cop cars.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Anyway, so this is what I truly like to do. Is it dangerous? Is it kind of sketchy? Cool. I don't actually have to be home to anyone other than the dog and the wife. So if I die, like, it's some insurance shit. Like,
Yeah. Your insurance is paid up. Let's do this.
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I've got the policy. Like, the wife will live. Like, she'll be fine. She'll be sad for a while, but she'll be all right. Let's go do something sketchy.
Yeah. I'll see what, if there is a plan. If there isn't a plan, we'll make a plan.
I like this idea. Anywho, what are you geeking out about?
Besides the Draw Right Now shirt that I'm wearing, which you can purchase at drawrightnow.com. We're gonna do stuff with this fucking thing in 2019. We're gonna do stuff. I'm sourcing these things. We're learning about these. Yes. Pens are coming. Stickers. We're doing shit.
I'm excited about the books.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gonna be good.
As somebody who is a serious adopter to those books.
Yeah, these are great. The pack that I got from this is These are from Scout Books. We haven't ordered custom ones yet, but they sent over a variety of different ones to test out colors and papers and stuff. So I'm very pleased with the size and the format and the feel. So
I think the only problem I'm finding, and it's probably just a personal thing because I'm way too rough on things, I am tearing up my field notes books.
That's what they're made for. They're made to be like used and tore up and like fucked up and shit. You're not supposed to be precious with them. You're supposed to just use them to get your ideas out. And so that's kind of what we want.
All right. Something durable. I've got one that's upstairs. It's like, like I find myself flipping it over in my pocket so this way it doesn't adhere to my ass shape.
I've got one here. I mean, this one, Hazel's written in this. I've had to like paperclip new pages in here. You know, yeah, Hazel drawing stuff like that.
Even then, that's still in worlds better than the one that I have. Like, I tear some things up, but you know that, and maybe that's kind of the point, like what you said.
Yeah,
the idea is to not be precious with them. They're designed to be carried around and used and jotted down, and
yeah,
like if you've got pertinent information with it, maybe that's something you keep in your phone or whatever it is. Like, I'm a real old school guy in the sense that like I like physically writing things down. Mm-hmm. So I've even moved away from like, I paid for apps that are like to-do lists, and like Things is one of the apps that like I bought it for the Mac and I bought it for the phone, and I was like, I'll go across platforms and a bit, and I don't use it the way I really think I should.
That's why it's great.
Right, yeah, like I think there's something mental in my head where it was like, write the thing down and then when you're done with it, cross that out. And that is the most satisfying, like drawing that line through the task, most satisfying thing I can do.
Yeah, so that's not what I'm geeking on, but I wanted to get the promo out there because we're working on building our brand. So, despite my art style and despite like my weeby tendencies, I don't actually know shit about manga. And so, I think it was last week, Shonen Jump, which is a big publisher in Japan, they have a version that they do here in the States. They announced that they're moving to a new business model for us here. So what they're doing is they're going to be releasing chapters for free online. And if you subscribe to Shonen Jump for like $1.99 a month, you get access to their entire English language backlog.
Like, okay.
All like now. That's like thousands and millions of pages of just access to manga. So I'm not sure when they're doing this new business model. I think it's sometime in the new year. But I might actually start subscribing to Shonen Jump because it's like $24 a year for all the manga.
Okay.
Like basically all the manga. All the popular stuff that people have heard about, like Full Metal Alchemist and Attack on Titan and Naruto and One Piece, that's all published through Shonen Jump.
Okay.
So the fact that they're giving away free chapters is amazing. Chapters are usually 16 pages of comic. And the way Shonen Jump works, I think there's like a monthly jump and a weekly jump. Every week, they put out this gigantic collection of like, you know, cheap paper, cheap shitty paper, cheap ink. But it's like
newspaper print.
Newspaper print, black and white, or whatever ink they find at the printer that day that works. Because sometimes the pages will be in red, sometimes they'll be in blue. But it's like a book of 300 pages of comics that you get a week.
Okay.
So they're going to be releasing free chapters for people on Sundays, and I think they're trying to get around the scanlations, that's what they call fan translations of manga, the scanlations. So people will scan them in and do their own translation and upload them for free. So, I mean, with this new business model, basically a webcomic model, there's no excuse for anyone to steal this shit anymore because you're getting it for free. And the money helps support the illustrators back in Japan. So, like, if you can't afford $1.99 a month, you at least get access to all these free chapters.
Right. That makes sense.
And I think it's kind of amazing. Like, I haven't looked into Marvel or DC's online subscription models. The last time I saw it, like, for Marvel, you did not get current issues until like a month or two after, with their digital stuff. So I don't know what the equivalent here is. Cause when they did that, I was like, that's not how you win over digital readers. You gotta give them the new shit when it comes out.
Well, yeah, but that's also how you cut off your nose to all of the print readers. Like, there has to be some sort of exclusivity of paper comics. Otherwise, they're doing away with their entire business model. You become Netflix, who ends up with this DVD library that nobody knows the fuck. Honestly, you know what? That's a real question. What the fuck did they do with all their DVDs?
Oh.
Do they still offer a DVD model? Hang on a second.
Yes, they do. My parents get the DVDs.
Damn!
Yeah, my parents... Wow. They just saw Ready Player One, and I scoffed at them.
Yeah. Yeah. You're damn right. Yeah.
But yeah, they...
That means that they're watching movies that aren't actually on the digital service.
Yeah.
Are your parents smarter than the rest of us?
I don't know. They have a Netflix subscription, like Netflix, right. Netflix, but they also get the discs too. So, because I think the disc subscription is more expensive.
Yeah. That's always been the case.
Yeah. So I guess they get some movies that aren't on the digital version.
Interesting. It didn't even occur to me anymore that that was still a thing, but like, of course it's still a thing, but anyway, I wonder if that's how they get around. I mean, I assume they would then have basically everything, right?
I think so.
Because it shouldn't matter what their streaming licensing deal would be. They should be buying copies of all new movies and have access to them.
Yep. They still have to buy those. They still have to buy the discs.
Right.
And if it's like libraries, the rental discs are way more expensive than the regular discs.
Oh, because they're more robust.
I think the library copies of books, they get charged a premium for some reason. I think that's how it works. I could be making this up.
It's probably a licensing thing. Probably because you're basically taking money away from the company, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I assume they're not sending a kid to a Best Buy and having him buy up, 24 copies of Ready Player One.
Yeah.
And then just fucking sending them out of their warehouse.
I'm interested to see this model. It's very much a webcomic model with like a subscription service on the back end. And the Shonen Jump catalog is massive. And they haven't translated everything, but their English library, their English language library is like bajillions of pages.
So I do want to ask a question.
Yeah.
When are you going to read this?
That's another good question.
Like, I'm not arguing the idea that this is a good business model, a cool way to check out manga, like a way for people maybe like myself who have tried it. God forbid, if I had more time, I'd ask the same question to myself than I ask of you. But like, if I happen to have the time or I was looking to get into it, like, that's a great way. Whether or not I want to have a paper library to hang on to those sort of things and go back and look at them and display them and what have you, that goes with fandom. But like, when?
That's a good question, and I would have said on my morning commute into the office, but I don't have a morning commute into the office most days.
Right. I mean, even when you do, you're not going to be reading that on your phone. I mean, you don't have an iPad, do you?
No, I don't have an iPad.
So you're talking about potentially a tablet, and also it would need basically streaming capability unless there's a download option.
I think you can. I think the app lets you download for offline reading. So I don't know. That's a good question. I like the idea of having access to all these comics.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I question the practicality, much like with e-readers and stuff like that. Like, I question the practicality on a day-to-day use. I think the idea of the thing is really cool. Like, I remember working at Penguin Random House, the big book publisher and distributor and everything. Like, and I remember working there when e-readers were, like, starting to be on the decline. And I remember hearing all of these like distributors talking with places like Forever Days, and they're like, yeah, we don't know how much longer we're going to be doing business with you with e-readers, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Wait till a new 50 Shades book fucking comes out and y'all are trying to keep that shit in stock. Like, yeah. you forget that soccer moms have no interest in reading softcore porn on an e-reader. They're not. They're just not. They want to be able to throw another book jacket on that bad boy. Nobody wants to see them squirming in their chair holding their Nook.
I mean,
unless they're actually holding their Nook.
Yeah. I think if I had an iPad, I would find more opportunities to read stuff. Like if I go on vacation, or if we're flying to a con or something like that.
Yeah.
Or like right before I go to bed, then I'd have the pad there so I could read some manga and stuff and then zonk out. That's a good point.
Then you're talking a couple $100 investment, like even for an iPad mini.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I like the idea. I like the premise. I question who this is really for.
Yeah.
Like, I love the idea of having the access to everything. You know, if you've got a phablet like I do, you know, these big-ass phones.
Yeah.
Sure, maybe. I don't know. Like, I'd be curious what it looks like. Is it, like, panel by panel? Do I have to, like, physically hold my thumb over and use it almost like scrolling through an image? Like, how does that work? You know, do I have pinch options? Like, how do I view the art versus the panels? Like, I read comics very differently than I read like web articles and stuff like that. Like, yeah. You know, when you open a splash page of a comic, and I don't know if manga even does splash pages, but okay. So like when you open a splash page, you want to be able to drink all that in. I think you lose that ability on here. Like, I even remember doing comics digitally and feeling like I lost something when the way that the e-reader was set up, where like it would break it up by physical pages.
Yeah.
And like, you see the thing and I'm like, okay, hang on, scroll. And then I like turn the iPad sideways and I'm like, scroll. And then I'm like, okay, hang on, lock the iPad's rotation and then turn the whole thing sideways. So then I can slowly scroll in between and be like, oh, that's kind of cool. I see where they cut off the two parts so it doesn't quite match up. So like, I don't know. Like, yeah. There's something to be said. And this is probably me being old man Chalmers. Like, comics and things of that nature, like comics especially, I feel like need to be read in a very like paper format. At least when they're done traditional style. Like if it's a webcomic or something like that, I get that it's designed to be read a certain way.
Yeah.
Panel by panel, it's very clean cut. Like, it's rare if a webcomic is designed like a comic book.
Yeah.
So
I think the last time I messed with Comixology, they have a guided reading version. So like there are two ways to read it. You could do page by page, or you could do the guided reading where they go panel by panel and they do that kind of thing, which kind of works. But yeah, I mean, I think the audience is not us. Cause I prefer paper comics, you know, to digital stuff. Like I'll read digital if I have access to it.
Right.
If that's the only way I can access to it. But I much prefer having like a big collection in front of my face.
Yeah.
But I think the audience, at least for manga, is kids who are used to reading everything on a screen, or you know, consuming this stuff on a screen. So I think
and
getting shit for free is awesome for these kids. I think they're just going to be expanding their market base if it's not gigantic already. I think they're gonna. I don't know. I think it's a good move. It'll be interesting to see if it's profitable for them.
I can see that. God damn, Jamie Noguchi, I just came up with a product idea. So people are dumb,
yes. Right?
We know people are dumb.
Yes.
So if I've learned anything from my recent podcast history and what have you, is people don't have a firm grasp of history. Right. And history can be super fucking interesting. Like between the story of like, you know, the movie The Revenant, based on an actual story of an actual dude. I wonder if there's a way to like take those little field notes books and have a version of a historical story where you learn like, hey, this is where the civil right blah 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 came from. This is the history of Roe v. Wade. This is the history of Spiro Agnew. This is the history of yada, 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 yada.
Like a history cliff notes or something.
I don't know if you want to call it like shit shift or something like that, but like the idea is like it can fit in your back pocket and you read it when you're on the crapper. So this way you're not on social media scrolling through Facebook or buying something. You're like flipping through whatever it is. And you're like, wow, yeah. And like they're throwaway. They're done on like field notes papers. They're like, you can dog ear them. It's whatever. And like, you just pick up where you left off, and then you hand one off to somebody. You leave a bunch of them in the bathroom, whatever
it
is. Like,
that's kind of a great idea, and you do it like a bulleted list, so it's easy to digest.
Yeah, like, even if it's not a bulleted list, almost like a compressed style story. Like, you know, you basically come up with here's how many pages you have, here's your margins, here's the font size. And you start to figure out how to carve up a story. It has to be a two-parter, whatever. It has to be a two-parter. Or you do, like, I don't know, the history of the LAPD. You know, one of my favorite podcasts, The Dollop, they broke it into four sections, four uh-huh. episodes. It was digestible. They're like an hour, hour and a half each. You basically, like, you take that verbiage and you compress it down in a field notes book. And it was like the LAPD... 18 whatever it is to 1901 to 1925, 25 to 65, 65 to now. And it's like, you basically cover the most interesting shit however you want. Do you want to go back and read the entirety of the thing? You buy it in a four-pack set. You want to hear about, you know, Rodney King or whatever it is. You pick up the one from the 90s. Like, you just, like, that's the idea.
We could do that right now.
I'm just like
they do custom versions of these where you can have your printed stuff in like inside, so like you can customize it so you have I dropped it on the mic. But we could do that right now.
Like, we come up with a clever thing and we just educate people about whatever the pertinent thing, like what spurred my brain from this, it goes back to, again, I talked about this before. If you haven't been listening to Bagman,
it was amazing.
It's super fucking good. It tells the story of former Vice President Spiro Agnew, who a lot of people think got busted for tax fraud or during part of the Watergate investigation, and come to find out, he's his own special version of asshole who was taking bribes in the fucking White House. Like, some asshole shows up and hands him an envelope full of money.
Yeah.
And the cool part, if you're from the local area where I am in Baltimore County, he actually was the elect representative for the district that my house sits in right now. Now, I know that my grandparents' house was literally on the other side of the alley of where I currently live, which means because he won in a landslide, and I looked at the electoral map, there's a good chance that my grandparents voted for Spiro Agnew, not only for county executive, not only for governor, but probably for vice president, probably twice. Oh. Right. But, like, so did most of the fucking country. The second time Nixon and Agnew were elected, it was a goddamn landslide.
Yeah.
Like, greatest political ass-kicking in history. And come to find out, while all this is happening, they're two fucking criminals. Like, that means every God-given American who saw this was like, hey, you know what? Makes sense. There's some things I like, some things I don't like. He's kind of a racist fuck, but things are kind of moving okay, so fuck it. We'll take what we can get, and we'll fight that battle later, yada, yada, yada. But, like, everybody fucking did it. I think, what is it? Just Massachusetts, maybe, were the only ones who didn't go for Agnew Nixon?
Yeah.
So, like, everybody's fucking guilty of this shit.
Oh,
like,
my
I think
God.
Maybe Bernie Sanders gets to be like the 10% of the 1% of the 10% of the 1% who gets to be like, fuck those guys. And I've been saying fuck those guys since I actually watched Fuck Those Guys. Like, that story is so good.
Yeah, it was very engrossing.
And, like, I really think you could do a compressed version of that where you talk about things like, and I know we're not allowed to talk negatively about the dead, but, like, you come to find out through this fucking podcast that the Bush president, Bush senior, the one they just buried, tried to obstruct justice.
Yeah.
Like,
well, he succeeded.
Right. He almost did.
Yeah.
But, like, he tried to literally get the investigation shut down because he was the chair of the RNC. Like, I don't know if people know that. Like, everybody's like, oh, look at his dog. And I'm like, that guy's a fucking monster.
Yeah.
That pupper's adorable, but that guy's a fucking monster.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how do we, and I know I'm going down a super political rabbit hole, but whatever. The idea is, I think there are stories that people should know the history of. Like, documented, cleanly written, historical notes taken from the actual people, you know, like, not skewed one way or the other, and just laid out the facts. Here's what happened.
Yeah.
There's no argument about what happened. And here's how you should educate yourself. Know the following things happened, yada, 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 in this way. Do you take something from it? Do you not take something from it? That's up to you. But, like, you have the ability to learn about whatever it is.
We could very easily do that. Also, we live, like, right down the street from the National Archives.
Yeah.
So if we need to get access to primary source documentation, like, it is easy for, like, I went to school as a history major. University of Maryland, College Park, history. I went to art because I realized that I got drunk one night and I wrote a term paper and I got a B on it. And I was like, well, fuck this. So I decided to draw for a living. But I mean,
okay, I think you're actually making more than you would. And my understanding is it's really hard to get hired as being a history teacher right now.
I was going to be a lawyer, but not
Jesus Christ,
but not the high paid kind of lawyer, the nonprofit pro bono work for every sobbing case. Like, I was going to be,
you're going to be fucking Daredevil. You were going to be Matt
Nelson
Murdock
and Murdock. Yeah. I was going to be Nelson and Murdock without, right. Without the money.
God damn.
I have no money.
Ugh.
But, like, Brandon, we could easily do this. Like,
right,
publishing on these is easy as fuck. We just send them the file. And they're like 38 pages of shit, you know. Mm. We could do a series on the arts. We could do a series, like, you know, when Stan Lee died, everybody was talking about all these amazing things that he created, leaving out all his co-creators. So, like, you know, the history of Spider-Man would be amazing. Like, how it was created and like, you know, an unauthorized biography of how that was created or some, you know, just highlighting all of these things in history that get lost because it's not now, it's not new, it's not flashy, it's not easily digestible.
Am I also mistaken in saying that Stan Lee wasn't always, like, comic super grandpa? Wasn't he kind of a noted dickhole?
Yes.
For a good while?
Stan Lee's greatest power was promoting Stan Lee.
Right. So, I wonder if you're going to lose your audience with a Stan Lee, like, true facts sort of thing. Like,
well, it wouldn't end up
becoming like the Neil deGrasse Tyson of comic books, where you're like, okay, now I understand that Stan Lee is everybody's grandpa, but hang the fuck on, all right?
Well, that's why you would have to frame it as, like, this is the origin of Spider-Man. This is how Spider-Man
came. Okay,
I
gotcha.
And, like,
you
would focus it on specific characters. Like,
gotcha, bait and switch.
Yeah, so, you know, it wouldn't be Stan Lee is a shill that takes all the credit. It would be, these are all of the people involved with the creation of Spider-Man.
Right, okay. And, yeah, so, you know, so Stan Lee's not the Fred Durst of comics.
Right.
He's like, it's the history of Limp Bizkit.
Yes.
And then you're like, oh, okay, right on. Well, I'm curious about this. I watch a lot of Behind the Music, so this is bound to be okay.
Yeah, or, like, you know, I was immediately thinking when you were talking about this, I was like, I could do a series of these on Kamen Rider. And, like, this, like, do a, like, a digest version of every writer show.
Oh, Jesus
in
Christ.
This form. And, you know, I have friends that could help me research that shit. We could just start putting shit out. Like, maybe this could be part of the Draw Right Now thing.
Part of the write in Draw Right Now?
Yeah, like, we put a series of these things together and, you know, along with our own branded Draw Right Now things like this. Like, we're going to have these for people to just, you know, work their thoughts out and draw stuff in them. But, like, if we had a series of these, like, mini publications, I think that would be fucking amazing.
I think we should totally do that. Let's pick some topics and let's do that.
Okay.
We can start with, like, draw related things. I'd like to do a history of Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think that would be really great. I think, because when you think comics, even before the movies, Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, like those are the, you know, Spider-Man to me has always been comics.
Fuck, how do we sell a history of Spider-Man without broaching copyright shit? That's a problem for later on.
I think you can write, like, it would be like Comics Journal or like Wizard or anything like that. Like, you know, if it's a journalistic thing, I don't think you need to worry about stuff like that.
Okay.
As long as we're not taking artwork from unauthorized publications, like, you know, it would probably be mostly text based, and I could do like really shitty scribbles.
Yeah, we can have you do some quick sketches or whatever it is.
Yeah. But I think you can write about stuff. I don't think you have, as long as you're not taking artwork that's already created for Marvel, Disney, I think you can write about them. We'd have to make, but I like this idea. I like this idea a lot.
Okay. All right. What were we supposed to talk about today? Well, I think I may have fucking sidetracked.
We got sidetracked, like we got sidetracked last week, but last time. But I had a thing, but you know, I think we've gone 40 minutes, which is like a pretty good episode. So
okay.
But yeah, let's talk to Phil, and just write down our idea, and put a pin.
We're
in
going
this.
Super inside baseball, dropping names and stuff like that of people that people don't realize.
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah. It's like any other podcast.
It's fine. Yeah. Go ahead and head to the Digital Pimps. Buy yourself a T-shirt or three.
Yes. And they also have exclusive con shirts that they release every year. So
I know.
Watch out for the exclusive San Diego Comic-Con shirt that they're going to do this year. I don't know what it is.
I am super sad that I am now too thin for my Rocket Raccoon shirt.
Oh no!
Because it used to be my favorite thing, and then I let it go. I think my wife has it now. Aww. But yeah, it's so sad. Guys, can you do like a limited rerun of like your favorites? Or oh, god damn it! Hang on, I don't know if he'll actually listen, but like, do a goddamn TeePublic site of your old Comic-Con exclusive things. Like, once it's a year old, throw the image up there and just try and make some free money.
That's a good idea. We should talk to Phil about that stuff.
Yeah, I would hope that Phil listens. I know he doesn't listen, but I would hope that Phil listens.
Come on, Phil.
God damn it, Phil. One job.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea. I think we could start with like entertainment stuff that we actually are familiar with, like things we're familiar with.
Or super not,
but at least in our sphere of you know, whatever. And go from there.
Yeah, I think this is gonna be the project, Jamie. I think we're gonna figure out what's going on. I think we're gonna end the recording, and then you and I are gonna have a 20-minute conversation, and we're gonna put some notes together, and I think we're about to start another project.
Hooray, more businesses.
Woo!
Brandon Chalmers, where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram at thatguychalmers. I have a Twitter feed. I don't check it. I'll probably end up deleting the whole thing. I'm basically just squatting on it because it has my name on it. Type Brandon Chalmers into a Google machine. You'll find me. More importantly, type Super Art Fight into a Google machine, and you'll be able to find not only superartfight.com, not only all of us on social media, but you'll be able to find us at the Auto Bar on December 15th in Baltimore, Maryland.
For Jamie,
what are we calling it?
37th Annual Holiday Hootenanny.
Yeah, damn right it is. Kids, it's going to be a celebration of America, of the holidays, of freedom in America and the holidays. It's going to be actually a completely safe space, and we'll probably end up pissing off people who actually enjoy America and freedom and the holidays and yada, yada, yada. But you should come out. I promise there won't be any country music, but we'll definitely make a mockery of it. It'll be a hell of a lot of fun.
We need to tell Ross to bring his banjo, because apparently he can play his banjo.
Bullshit, he can play his banjo.
He's had that banjo.
Yeah, no. He's had a banjo for forever. I have never actually seen him play said banjo, and I have no idea if he actually has the ability to strum anything. Because frankly, if we've had a holiday show leading up And we've been all cutting promos for said holiday show. By the way, the two that got released for Stompin' On today, you'll probably see them. This would have been the other day, whatever it is. Super Hard Fights, all social media for all the Stompin' On stuff, are great. Where's Ross Nover picking himself out a little ditty?
That's true.
Like, where's you know?
That's
I'm
true.
Looking for a little Pickle and Dixie. Like,
well, tell him to bring the banjo and I'll play the fucking banjo.
Music virtuoso Jamie
Do
Taniguchi.
I know how to play banjo? No, but I know how to tune to a fucking open chord, so fuck it.
I can hear this already. You're going to immediately throw away all the basic tuning. You're going to put it suddenly into a rock tune. Yeah, and you'll just be playing power chords. And you'll be strumming out Smoke on the Water in fucking banjo. God damn it. Now all I want to hear is fucking Master of Puppets played on a banjo. I need to the YouTubes. I'm sure somebody's done it.
Master, yeah. Puppets, pull our strings.
Yes, God. Jamie Noguchi, you have no idea how much time I spent trying to book a bluegrass cover band for it. The better part of 20 emails, I even reached out to some proper bluegrass bands to see if they'd be willing to do a cover list. No one responded to me.
I got a fiddle upstairs. I'll fucking do it.
God damn it.
I'll fucking do it. I'll do it. I don't care. Let's do it.
You know, honestly, I'm more interested in you doing a fiddle version of Bust Out Brigade to start the show than I ever was in Ross Nover picking a banjo. Like, yeah, there needs to be Jamie fiddling Noguchi.
I gotta see if I have my bow. If any of my bows are haired. Can make this happen.
Oh! How?
Just stick a, just hold a microphone, and I'll just.
I am good with that. Like solo spotlight right on Jamie Noguchi, me hanging over him with a microphone.
I'll check out my violin, see what state they're in. I might have to go shopping for some strings and get a bow repaired, but. We'll see what happens.
Maybe.
Might have to take a trip down to Potter's Violins in Bethesda, Maryland.
By the way, I absolutely love how bad ideas come together last minute for all Art Fight shows. We have months leading up to these shows. We could be talking all this out. We're now, let's see, it's Tuesday, yeah. The show is Saturday, and you're like, maybe I'll get a bow restrung and I'll learn how to play Bust Out Brigade. Like, I love the idea of you...
Oh, you don't forget how to play a violin. It's just...
Right. You know? Oh, is that how that works?
It's, yeah. Okay. I may have forgotten how to read music, but I know how to put my fingers in the right place.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely want to see this now.
All right, I gotta go check on my instruments.
Yeah, matter of fact, I because I dug a trench, I actually need to go wash my overalls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I bought overalls for the show, kids. Been using them like crazy. Like crazy. I feel like an idiot. I should have been embracing my inner redneck for years now. I'm over here like a mook, swinging a hammer while I'm pulling up my pants. When I'm realizing denim could be just solving my problems right now. Just denim suspenders.
Man, I wonder, maybe music and arts. I don't know how long it takes to re-hair a bow, but maybe I could just pick up a shitty one at Music and Arts Center.
Sure, the Googles will tell you.
Yeah.
Anywho. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Let's go do that.
All right. See you later.
Bye, kids. Go make a thing like us. Yeah.